On? It is on. Good evening. Glad you're here with us this evening. If you are using a hymnal, we'll be singing number 544, Without Him. We'll sing both verses.
Mm-hmm. Without Him I could do not.
Sing Heaven Came Down. Heaven Came Down, number 517. Following this song, we'll have our opening prayer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, my heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you and give you thanks for this day that you've blessed us with. So great that we can be here again tonight, together in thy house, and sing songs of praise to thy name and hear thy word taught. We give you thanks, Heavenly Father, for all the blessings you've blessed us with that we truly could not number. Pray, Heavenly Father, and we give thanks for this congregation here at Central Church of Christ that you'll use as a tool in your kingdom for many years. Pray, Heavenly Father, for Brother Greg tonight as he goes into his lesson, that you'll give him a ready recollection of what he's prepared as he strives to rightly divide the word. Pray, Heavenly Father, that we'll let the word come to us with an open heart as we have love for the truth. Heavenly Father, I hope we can apply this lesson to our lives and that you'll bless us as we go into this week and that people will see you living in us and glorify you. In your holy Son, Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
If you are using a hymnal, you can mark number 453 as our song of encouragement following the lesson this evening. Our song of encouragement will be number 453, Love Lifted Me. And before our lesson, we'll sing In His Time. That's 839. If it's convenient for you, let's stand before the lesson. 839.
In His time.
Be seated. Before the scripture reading, I was told to announce that there will be children's story time tonight for those of you who would like to dismiss your children down there. The scripture reading will come from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, and I'm reading the New King James Version. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God.'"
Well, good evening. Hope you all are doing well this evening. Full disclosure, I got the phone call on Thursday asking if I could fill in. And I told Dennis, and this is paraphrasing a little bit, but I said, if you want a 20-minute lesson, I don't know if I can do that, but I can easily do a 45. And so, but I think we're going to get out of here before that. But the point, of course, is that oftentimes it's much harder to edit down what I want to say because I have been given the spiritual gift of gab. And so, I wanted to ask you, what is a present that has impacted you when you received it? Does anyone want to share a present that they've received that has really impacted them? A doll bed when she was 8 years old, made by her grandfather. That's special, isn't it? Very special. Anyone else? Yes, Tammy. Oh, that's special too. A book given by a daughter to parents about memories. Mine's not as special as those. But here's an impactful present. No, it is actually special. And here's why. Because I don't want to belittle the gift, because it was an incredible gift. The gift that I was given that's very memorable is, it actually just happened about a month and a half or 2 months ago. I was here, and I was finishing up class, or we're getting done with class, and someone comes up to me with a takeout container, like a Chinese takeout container. But it was what it was inside that was so special to me. And it was packets of sriracha sauce. Now, this is not another sriracha sermon. I promise you that. But it was so special to me to receive that because, and it sticks out to me. I mean, I will remember this for the rest of my life because they said, we were on vacation and we thought about you. And that made me feel really special. And I love that. And really, that is, I mean, like when I was starting to think back on it, what are my most impactful gifts I've ever received? That was like one of my top five. So, I mean, there's no belittling that. That's an incredible gift that I received. It impacted me because, not because of so much of what it was, but so much more because of what it communicated, right? The doll bed, it communicates a love. The book of experiences that was given back to the parents, it communicates an appreciation for the things that they had been through. The gift that I received, a communication of, we were thinking about you. And you can't put a price on that. That's priceless. And so, I know we've got the Christmas party that happened before this, right? We had a Christmas party that happened before this. And after this, we're going to have an ornament exchange, right? So our mindset right now is probably on presents. And so the title of this sermon is Impactful Presents. And with all of that in mind, I want to quote from one of the great philosophers of our time. You are too concerned with what was and what will be. Yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift. That is why it is called the present. Now, does anyone know the philosopher that said that? I got one. Master Oogway from Kung Fu Panda. There's a lot of deep philosophy that you can garner from these Disney and Pixar films, I tell you. And so, I want you to think about impactful presence that we see in Scripture, right? Think about the wise men who brought the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, right? Think about Hannah, and she's praying, I want a son, I want a son. Vindicate me, O God. I want a son, and if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And Samuel went on to have an incredible impact on a whole nation because he was a gift given back to God. And so today, we want to talk about impactful presence that we can give our Savior through serving others. And so I'm just going to kind of go through. I hope you find a lot of application in these because I'm wanting this to be a very application-filled kind of lesson. And so what about giving the present of our work and effort? Think about somebody that you know that is the hardest worker. Think about someone in your job or in your life that just all they do is work, and they give their best 100%, right? You start to build a trust with that person. You know that if you give them a job to do, they're going to do it right. You know that they're not doing it just to please people or anything like that. They're doing it because it comes from where? The heart. They're doing it for the right reasons and to the best of their abilities. I think about Jesus when he says that if you look out at the fields are white. They're ready for harvest. But what he's looking for are people that are willing to go out there and work their hardest, to do the best, to bring in the harvest that's ready to come in. Think about the parable of the talents. Do you remember, was it about how much each one had received? Was that the point of the lesson? No. The point of the lesson wasn't how much they had, or even so much about how much they made. It was more about what they did with what they had. And so when people say, because I've been guilty of it, well, if I just had this, if I just had that, oh, I could do so much more for God. God doesn't care about what you would do with what you might have. He cares about what you're doing with what you already have, with what he's already given to you. And so don't just project forward thinking about, well, one day this, one day that. Instead, think about, what can I do today? What can I make the best use of my time today? How can I work well with what I have today? When I was teaching this past semester for my, by the way, there's going to be a lot of illustrations today about the classes that I teach because that's what's on my mind, number one, and number two, it's what's on my mind. And so this past semester, I was teaching this technology class and I told the students, I said, it's not about what you could one day do with the technology that you have. It's about what you're doing today. And these are seventh graders that I'm talking to. Right? These are my 12-year-olds. And I'm telling them, I'm like, don't think about, well, one day I can do this, one day I can do that. What are you doing with your technology today to glorify God? Do the best with what God has already given to you. And so think about the impact that we can have by giving the present of giving our best. Jesus says it this way, if someone asks for you to go a mile, you should do what? Go with them too. Give your best. Give more than what's expected. What about this one? Giving the present of experiences. Impactful present of experiences. So last year, I finished up teaching the senior level philosophy of science class. And at the end of the year, well, let me back up a little bit. Throughout the year, we had this little thing that we would do. If I felt like the students were getting out of line, I would pull out my imaginary water gun. And I would say, time to stop. Stop doing that. If they said like something off color or something like that, it was my way of drawing them back in. And then they started doing it back to me because I would do self-deprecating humor. I even knew, don't do that, but self-deprecating humor, and they would say, Mr. Ryan, you got to stop that, and they would, of course, the pretend water gun back. Now, the last day, sitting at my desk, about to take attendance, and I look out, and out of the 8 students that I have on my roster, guess how many are sitting in their seats in my classroom? 0. And I said, okay, something's wrong here. Either I'm in the wrong place or they're in the wrong place. Is it the right time? What's going on? And so I noticed something out of the corner of my eye. And I know something's up. And suddenly, this tiny little water gun comes sliding across the floor right to my feet. I said, okay, now something's really up. Right? And so I pick up the water gun and I get bum rushed by 8 seniors and they start shooting me with their water guns and I start shooting them back. And it was memorable. We had fun. We were laughing. And then I remembered, oh no, today is test day and everyone's supposed to be really quiet. And so then I later on had to go to the principal and apologize for the behavior of my students. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. He's like, no, it wouldn't have been a problem except for all the testing. But memorable. Again, it's one of those things that I'm never going to forget. It was an impactful present to me, and it was an impactful present to them that we got to experience that together. On the flip side, we can have those memorable experiences that are presents for us that we may not realize that we need at the time. And maybe they're not the most happy-go-lucky things either. So for example, when we were in Nashville a couple years ago doing some mission work with Inner City Church Christ, we're in downtown and we're driving the bus back to take our students back to their homes. Now we had two children that were on the bus and we would ask them, well, where do you need to be dropped off? And every day that we had to drop them off, it was someplace different. And so I asked, well, why are we dropping them off at different places each day? Well, they lived with Dad, and Dad didn't have a home. Dad was homeless. He had to sleep at whatever home was open to him that night. And so we processed that as a group. My daughter, I believe it was the first year we were down there, so Rosie, she was really young at that point. And one of the boys that we were down there with and that we were helping with, one of the students, at one point he took off his shoes and his socks and he had these webbed feet. And so my daughter asked the question. She said, why are your feet like that? And he said, oh, I was born this way. And so my daughter said, well, why don't you get it fixed? And he said, we can't afford to do that. Now, this is like 8-year-olds having this conversation, 9-year-olds, whatever it was, having this kind of conversation. And so we go back and we always talk about our highs and our lows for the day when we're on this trip. And she said, my low is that I didn't realize that people couldn't afford to have things like that done. She didn't realize the kind of poverty that was out there. And is that the most happy-go-lucky experience that a 9 or 10-year-old child or whatever can have? No. But was it a worthwhile, impactful experience? Yeah. And we still talk about that experience. We still think about those things because it impacted her to know that there was a world bigger than herself, bigger than what was just around her. And so, what can we do for the world? Do you think that the world lacks in grace and mercy and hope and love? It's interesting that when I see those that are supposed to be champions of grace and mercy and love and hope, they're often the ones that show the least amount of it. And I'm not talking one side or the other. I'm talking about people in general. When I watch the news, when I hear about things on social media, oftentimes it's not filled with great things, especially the news. And so what do we do with that information? How can we create experiences for people around us to see grace and hope and mercy and love? Well, that's where we come in, isn't it? That's where we extend grace and mercy to those that don't deserve it. That's where we show love to to those that are not loved, where we give hope to the hopeless. That's why we do the things that we do, like the sharing Thanksgiving. That's why we have such awesome programs that work through here, but I also know that you all, on your own time, and I'm sure of this, are helping those around you who are in need. And so this holiday season, as we're talking about impactful presence, I want you to consider about how you can be an experience of Jesus to those around you, that they may see him. What about this one? The impact of the present of showing a different demeanor. A different demeanor. And this story I'm about to tell you, it's not a boast within myself. Jesus has done a lot to get Greg to where he is, and I'm thankful for that. Greg is still working out a lot of kinks. Jesus is working out a lot of kinks, I should say. But this is an awesome opportunity that I had. While I was working a couple months ago, one of the other staff members came up to me and they said, Mr. Ryan, I wanted to ask you a theological question. Is that okay? And I said, sure, anytime. And they said, what are your thoughts about baptism? And I said, well, I believe that baptism is essentially the wedding ring and the vow to become married to Christ. And that is when I'm in a relationship with God. And so I started explaining my perspective, and he said, well, here's my issue. Because he wanted to know, what does the Church of Christ believe about baptism? What do we think? And he said, because one day, a couple years ago, he was at McDonald's with his discipleship group, and a member of the Church of Christ, he didn't know his name or anything, I don't even know if it was anybody that's still even around this area, came up to him and started becoming, because they started asking questions to this discipleship group that was in McDonald's, and they started talking about baptism, and he said that this individual became very combative about their belief on baptism versus his belief on baptism. And that really affected how he began to view the Church of Christ, it seems anyway. And he said, but Mr. Ryan, when I look at you, I don't see that same demeanor, is essentially what it boiled down to. And again, thanks be to God for that, because if this were Greg Ryan like 10, 15 years ago, he may have seen a different demeanor, one that I may not have been so happy with. But is it true that we can demonstrate a different demeanor and that can impact people around us? Is it true that the world is oftentimes very forceful in their beliefs? Again, on both sides. People in general are forceful. They believe what they believe, and so they want to make you believe it too, right? But then I look at Jesus, and you know what Jesus does? When he's confronted, when he's pushed up against the corner, he goes back to old reliable. And you know what old reliable is? Questions. Just asking questions. Getting people to think. Now, yes, there are times where Jesus sits down and he makes a whip and he starts driving animals out of the temple. There are times when Jesus is healing the lepers. But there are also times when Jesus asks a lot of questions. Can we show or demonstrate a different demeanor? Look over Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. Well, let's start back in verse 5. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of your opportunities. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer everyone. Have we considered our speech? Is it seasoned with salt? Have we considered our posts? Have we considered our tweets? Have we considered our, you know, Instagram post for the day? Are we doing the things that we need to do to make sure that we're communicating well in the demeanor that is Christ-like as possible? It was interesting. Did you know that Walmart has what's called a 10-foot rule? Does anyone know about the 10-foot rule at Walmart? May not, because it's not demonstrated very often. Do you know what you're supposed to do as a Walmart employee if you're within 10 feet of another person? Smile. Now that may shock you, because maybe you've been in Walmart lately. And maybe you're looking at the employees and they're just like, oh. And again, I worked at Walmart for 3 years. I get it from both sides, okay? but man, it really instilled something in me to, if you're within 10 feet of somebody, smile. And I try to do that when I'm walking down the hallways where I teach. I try to do that even when I'm just out and about. And you know, you never know what just a simple smile can do to a person. What kind of impact that can have. Because we're all going through some rough stuff. All of us are carrying burdens. But just to have somebody smile at you, that can really brighten your day. So what about the impactful present of a different demeanor? What about this one? The impactful present of speaking truth into lives. Speaking truth into lives. Again, at my job, I've been given an opportunity lately to speak a lot of truth into people's lives. I'm given an opportunity here. But let me explain to you real quick what truths I've been speaking into the lives of some of my young people. I had an email come to me from a parent, and they said, my child is concerned about their grade. They're worried about getting a B for the first time. And I wrote back and I said, I'm sorry. It seems that I've not done a good job of communicating where value comes from. Now, I tried to do it with all my classes, but I said, I will make sure that it is communicated well come our next class. And so before we took our next test, I had the attention of all of my students in that class, and I said, when you go to take this test, whatever number you get back, that does not change the value of who you are as a person. That number does not dictate your value. And I've told people here before, and I hope that some of you all remember this, but I like the idea of how much is something worth? It's worth as much as someone's willing to pay for it, right? Look at the housing market. Look at the car market, right? If people are willing to pay crazy prices, you let them, right? But think about this. What price did Jesus pay for you and everybody else in this world? He paid the price of his own life. He valued you so much that he gave his own life because he said, you are worth it. And that's what I try to communicate, especially to my students, but also when I was here, to my teenagers as well here, and to my own family. And so when we get to speak that truth into people's lives, for parents, for adults, your job does not dictate your value. Your socioeconomic status does not dictate your value. Your children do not dictate your value. Your marital status does not dictate your value. The only one that can dictate your value is the one who made you and paid for you, and that is Jesus Christ. And so, getting to speak these truths is so vital, especially in the consumeristic society in which we live. And so, the phrase that I like to use, and again, maybe I've even said it up here, but your value is not in who you are, but your value is in whose you are. We should feel blessed to have these opportunities to speak truth into people's lives. Whether that's our coworkers, whether that's our children, but what an impactful gift when we can do that in a Christ-like way. Two left here. What about the impactful gift or the impactful present of our presence? Dads and moms, are we involved in our children's lives? Well, Greg, they don't want me there. They don't want me. They say, I've got it, Dad. I've got it, Mom. I don't need you. I'm good. That's not true. They're lying to you and they're lying to themselves. They don't know any better. They want you there. In fact, they might even ask you, hey, can I go to such and such person's place and spend the night? And you say, no. You set that boundary. And then you know what they might say to you? Thank you. I didn't want to go to begin with. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes the boundaries that we set are the very things that they're asking for, even though they may not know how to ask for it. Are we involved in our children's lives? Are we involved in our grandchildren's lives? Are we involved in people? The best investment we can make is not in cryptocurrency. You saw how that went. It's not in the next, big tech startup to come along. Instead, it's in people. And I'm a very relationally minded person. I get that. But this isn't because I'm a relationally minded person. It's because Jesus was all about people. And if Jesus is all about people, then we should be as well. It's the best investment we can make. And so I think about Josh. And I think about the investment that he has in the people in this church. I think about Tim Haywood. I think about Tim Hall. I think about you all. I think about each and every one of you. I think about you when we're handing out food to people. I think about you when we would need to stock the pantry here and people would bring stuff in randomly on a Thursday morning and just load the pantry up. I think about you when I look forward and I see somebody sitting up there for a second alone, and it's only a second because I know that one of you will go up there and sit with them. And that is you investing in people. And that's what we're about. That makes impacts. You can do a huge theological discourse with people. You can set out the argument as logically as you want. But people have to know that you care. And along those same lines, the impact of seeing individuals. I've used the tipping analogy before, but I'll do it again because I've got another wrinkle to this story. I've got a relative that we would always go out and eat Chinese together. And he would always tip the waiter a dollar. And I asked my relative, I said, "Why do you only tip a dollar?" And they said, "Because it's not Christmas." Now, we went in on Christmas, and I was intrigued. I was like, "Well, what kind of tip are we going to give today?" Would anyone like to guess the tip that we gave that day? $2. That's not good. That's not good at all. Now, this was a while back, but a dollar and $2 is still not a whole lot of money, right? So, tip well. See the individual. People want to know more than anything that they're loved, that they're appreciated, and that they are seen. We get lost in the sea of people. But the reality is that God sees you when you're hurting. God sees you when you're struggling. Maybe it's because of relationships. Maybe it's because of an addiction. Maybe it's because of school, or it's mom and dad, or it's son or daughter, or it's grandkids, or whatever the case may be. God sees you in that struggle. God saw Stephen when Stephen is standing up for the truth and those stones started coming in. In fact, it's one of two places where it says that Jesus was standing at the right hand of the Father. Are we demonstrating to others that we see them on an individual level, not just a people level? Think about the impact that we can have by giving the present of seeing individuals. Now, around this time, of course, I'm going to have to bring it back to this. The most impactful present in all of history was the birth, the life, the death, and the burial of Jesus Christ. In that, he demonstrated his love for us. We love because he first loved us. We give because he first gave. We care because he cares about us. Everything that we do is simply a reflection of the nature and the holiness of God. And so we're going to read Hebrews chapter 10 again real quick, and we'll finish out here. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. And this is also something to keep in mind when people say, "Well, you know, the Bible doesn't really talk so much about the birth of Jesus, or it's not really focused so much on his birth or anything like that." Well, maybe this is a good passage to look at then. When Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. Whole burnt offerings and sin offerings you took no delight in." So he's saying, God didn't care so much about the whole burnt offerings or the sin offerings as much as he cared about this body that was prepared. And then I said, "Here I am. I have come. It is written of me in the scroll of the book to do your will, O God." One of the ways that we can become Christ-like is by giving impactful presence that we talked about tonight. And the most impactful present that you can ever give is your life back to the Father to do his will and to do his will alone. That begins by getting in a right relationship. And so if you're not in that relationship, let's fix that tonight. Let's just fix it. If you come forward, we'll talk to you about what that looks like, about how you need to believe that Jesus is the Christ. You need to confess him as Lord, to repent of your sins, to turn away from that which is wrong, and to turn your ways to God. And then to be baptized into Christ and to increase in knowledge and increase in faithfulness. And maybe you have needs tonight. Maybe it's for prayers to be an impact in this world. Maybe you want to do better today than you have been. Let us help you with that. We've got wonderful members here on staff that can help, and I know the rest of the church here wants to encourage you as well. So whatever your need is, will you come as we stand and as we sing?
I was sinking deep in sin on the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeing your eyes no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now saved am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, merits my soul's best songs. Faithful loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else to help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows whose will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love.
Please be seated. To prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, we'll sing What Is He Worth? If you're using a hymn book, that's number 321. Sing the first and the last verse.
Jesus, the Lord, lift his glory aside. Sinners to save and make whole. Freely he died our transgressions to hide. What is he worth to your soul?
There might be some of us who haven't had the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper. We're going to do so now. There are communion sets located right outside if you need one of those. Let's give thanks for the bread. Dear Lord, we come before you as we take this bread that represents your Son's body. And as we take this, we reflect that we serve a Lord and a Savior who was willing to come to earth and to die for us and for our sins. And as we take this and remember the anguish that he felt going to the cross and the pain and the agony and the mocking that he endured, the Lord, we take this and we are so humbled that we serve a Lord and Savior willing to do that for us. And we are so grateful for his sacrifice. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Let's go, God, in prayer for the cup. Dear Lord, we come before you again as we take this cup that represents the blood that your Son shed on the cross. Dear Lord, we know and we read in your word that it was your Son's blood and only his blood that was able to cleanse us of our sins, to make us holy. And as we take this cup, we not only remember his sacrifice and that blood that was shed, but all that blood has given us, especially the relationship that we're able to have with you because of it. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's pray for the offering. Dear Lord, you have given us so much in this country. You've given us the opportunities to gain an education. You've given us opportunities to work, to provide for our family. Dear Lord, you've also given us many opportunities to spread your word. And we pray now that some of this money that we are able to go out and to make because of what you've given us and we give back, we pray that we do so cheerfully. And dear Lord, we pray that you be with the hands that allocate this money to the different works and missions that we have going on. And dear Lord, we pray that money can be used to fund these missions, and that those that are in the field, that the grace and the love and the mercy and the hope that you've shown us, that we will be able to show that to others, dear Lord. And dear Lord, not only financially we give back, we pray that we give back to you with our lives every day, and that we seek those opportunities to share your word and share the love and the mercy that you've shown us. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
I'd like to read a scripture before we have our closing prayer, and it's something I had not thought of beforehand, but there's a reason why I'm doing it tonight. And the scripture actually comes from Acts, the 20th chapter, and let's see, I think it's part of the 35th verse, but I'm going to read just a portion of this particular verse. Well, I'll just read all. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I think Greg has had a lot of references to giving, and I think certainly this is a season of giving. Bow with me as we go to God in prayer. Father, we're thankful for prayer. We're thankful especially that you gave Jesus to us in a way as a result of his death on the cross that makes possible our salvation. Well, Father, we're thankful for mates that are still with us and those that are not, that have influenced us and have given of their lives to us in a variety of ways, in wisdom and trust, and have helped make us better as Christians, more faithful as Christians. Thankful, Father, for elderships that have given us preachers and teachers and a place where we can worship thee, where it's warm and comfortable at various seasons of the year. Father, we're just grateful for many others that give in so many ways. Those perhaps that are willing to take time, much of their time of their lives, to go to foreign places to preach and teach, or perhaps go to new areas in this country to start congregations of the Lord's people. We're just thankful, Father, for many ways in which we can give to others in helping us to spread the gospel. Continue to be with us now, in Jesus' name, amen. We have an announcement coming from one of our elders in just a moment.
Ho, 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 it's Christmas time. We usually give out some presents at Christmas time, and we have, for all the people that work here, the employees, I guess you call them, and we usually give Tim Hall the first one, but Tim's not here, and you have to be present to win, so I'll... Jim Fellers, is Jim in the audience? Yeah, there he is. And Tim Haywood, is he around? We'll see that everybody gets this, whether they're here or not.
Jim, thank you for all you do. Thank you so much. And Josh Johnson, I don't have to go far to get here. Thank you, Josh. You've done a great job.
Heidi Elliott. Is Heidi in the audience? Heidi's the secretary. Ruth Boggs, is Ruth in here? Yeah, there she is. Patty Fothery here. How about Renee Gillum? Renee has been taking this. Thank you for all the work you do. You're a good one. Renee's our messenger. Well, that's pretty much all I can get out. No, wait a minute. Yeah, no, the rest of them not here. Hope all of you had a great and merry Christmas, and we're all dismissed now.